Delighted now to be joined by a clear man who is making waves on the racing front, but has been doing it for quite a while in the form of Clarecastle's Garrod O'Loughlin. Garrod, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
It's obviously a busy week that you're taking time out to talk to us. Galway races on the horizon. Obviously, a hugely exciting time of year for people involved in the sport.
Yeah, sure. Listen, everyone wants to have a runner in Galway, and I suppose it's kind of it's our local track for years, you know, at home. So, yeah, it's exciting times, and hopefully we could get a winner there, please God.
Yeah, we'll go into all that later on. But tell me first, what was your first involvement in racing, or how did all this come about for you?
My grandfather always kept ponies, Josie Maloney, and we had no racing background or anything like that. But I think it was Pat Lynch that seen me ride a pony one day. Pat Lynch down in the market in Fergus in Latoon, and said to give a shout in. And it all took off from there. I started going over there for the weekends, and basically any spare hour I had, and they were very good to me, Pat and John, and they taught me, showed me the ropes, and I rode my first pint for them. I was probably a late starter into race riding, but probably 19 maybe or 20 by the time I rode in a pint, but yeah, I was lucky enough to ride a few winners then, and thank God, sure. But it was always training I wanted to go at, and or pre-training anyway. So it led me here.
Absolutely. And tell me, what age were you when you first started kind of getting that involved in it then?
I'd left school after my junior cert, and I went to serve my time as a carpenter, and I went at the carpentry, but I went at the horses, I suppose, when I was about, say, 17, 18 properly, and said I could always go back at the carpentry again, but I never went back anyway. There's a long line of carpenters in my family, so on my mum's side, so that was kind of the way to go. But it has worked out well anyway.
Tell me, being in O'Loughlin from Clarecastle, how prevalent was the hurling?
Yeah, it was pretty, it was everywhere in the O'Loughlin household. I loved hurling. I actually have more of an interest in the hurling now than I did, say, when I was maybe in my early 20s. But I'd done a little bit of hurling underage, but the horses took over then. It was hard to do both, so I had to pick one. I wasn't much good at it now.
Well, I suppose the rest around there made up for that, didn't they, with what they've done on the hurling fields, no doubt about that. But I suppose that appreciation, Garrod, and that involvement in sport, how much did that stand to you then when the levels started going up a bit for you?
Massively, because I'm sure everyone knows Fergus and my father, Victor and Sparrow, were very, my aunts as well, Sharon and Claire and Tara and Loretta, but like, we're a very passionate family, you know, and I'd like to think when we go to do something, we'd give it 110%, so that has always been in me, you know, and I like to think I've taken that on with the horses as well, you know, that kind of way, but no, we don't do things half-arsed.
No, so. It's certainly, that's not the Clarecastle way for sure.
No.
So you started out race riding, a couple of point-to-point winners, but you said the training was always the love, or the one that you were kind of looking to chase in terms of a career. How did that start to develop then?
I to be honest, I've always kind of kept a horse or two to train up long. You know, when I was in Pat's, I had a horse, or pre-trained away a few horses, and when I was in Pat Lynch's, and later when I rode a few winners from Mike Brazel, and I was, you know, down in the market there, and we trained away them horses, and had four or five winners one season, and I rode them and trained them with him, and so I was always kind of had my hand in it, training an odd pointer, and when I went to work for Inda Bulger, I was part-time there for a few years, but when I went to work there full-time for a year, I had a horse there. He let me bring a horse out, and he won for me, and I rode him, and it was, you know, it was a great grounding. Like, not many people could have got an experience like that all the way up along, and we didn't break any banks either doing it. So, you know, it was a great old grounding to have. And I just said, I went to Jim Bulger's then after that for 2 years as a head lad down there, and I got massive experience down there, you know, and just ended up with the job and with Chris Jones. It was a pre-training job, there was a buy in young foals and set resell them as store horses as 3-year-olds, you know. So I had no intention of really going training, or never thought that I'd be lucky enough to go training for Chris Jones, but it just worked out. I was assistant to Andy Lynch for 2 years, and he was talking about retiring, and it just worked out that I there were big boots to fill, but I given it a bit of a go anyway. He had trained the grade one winner in the yard I'm in now. So so here we are, and enjoying every bit of it.
You make it sound as if it all happened by chance, but like, there's an incredible amount of hard work behind what you've got to.
I suppose anything is worth doing. I suppose you have to work hard at it if you're going to get a bit of success out of it. And I worked hard when I was in Jim Bulger's and Indus, and you have to, don't you? You know, you've 90% hard work, 10% luck is what I say.
And that certainly worked out. And it seems as if the at that level, at the high end of the industry that you're in, it's a very small network. I mean, there aren't that many opportunities. There's a couple of very strong stables that if you can get in, you can make a nice little career out of it. So like, that bit of luck as well, as you mentioned, is probably very important.
Yeah, it was just funny. I always had a fascination with the Chris Jones colours. If he'd a horse run, never met the man before, never met Andy Lynch or any Art Moore or anything. But if I saw a horse down the paper, I don't know why. I just applied for the job. I didn't think I'd get it or anything. But the fact that I was in Jim Bulger's at the time, and Mr. Bulger gave me a great reference, and fair play to me, he said there was a job there. If I didn't get it, there was always a job down in Boulders if I didn't get the job. So he said, go for it. And he's a big help to me as well. So, thank God it worked out.
How many years are you there now?
They're 4 and a bit now. Yeah, they're 4 and a bit now. And, being a Clareman, it's not home, but... It's a good bit different up here, up around Meath and Dublin, but we try and get down as much as we can.
Yeah, I suppose it has been a tough 18 months. I remember talking to Johannan down in the market, particularly about the point-to-point scene and the way that COVID kind of caused a major backlog in terms of processing horses and all the background industry that goes with it. How did you find it?
We weren't too bad. We wouldn't have too many point-to-pointers anyway. We were kept going away with the horse to train, and we just kept going as normal like everyone else did. And I suppose what I found was a bit the biggest thing was when you'd have a winner, you know, it was just the lack of atmosphere around the place, and maybe you'd usually come home and, you know, put the horse to bed and look after him and hit out maybe for a meal or few drinks with the lads, or, you know, have a bit of a celebration. Whereas, you know, through COVID, I suppose you were having your winner and whatever and coming home maybe and drinking a cup of tea, sitting down watching the telly for the evening. But listen, we aren't badly off now. You know, there wasn't a bad complaint. Racing kept going, and it was a credit to all involved, like in the racing industry, because they've done a marvelous job. I don't think there was any cases in the industry, like, you know, it was brilliant. So listen, we're nearly back on track anyway, and it's we're going to push through it, as the fella says.
Absolutely. Tell me, if somebody was asking, the highlight of your career so far, what would you pick?
The highlight of my career so far. I suppose Cedarwood Road winning a Lister race in Nace. Cedarwood Road, like, he won his maiden hurling Leopardstown. That was a great day. I think a few of the Banner lads were up the same day. They were giving it a good old shout for him. So, I'd say Cedarwood Road when he won a Lister race in Nace. And, hopefully now we'll get him out this season and get a clear run with him, you know.
And one of the big events, obviously, I'd say in everybody's calendar is that Galway Races Festival. We heard last week 1,000 punters, I think, through the gates each day. Not what they're expecting, but it's still 1,000 people that will get in. As you said, that buzz of a main stand on a big occasion, it's probably very hard to replicate, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Listen, there was, you know, the race course was like a graveyard, you know. It was, it was very, very quiet. But there was prize money coming back in and the industry was moving, you know, which was important. But it was fairly quiet now over the last 18 months.
It'll be different in Galway. Have you many interests in it?
I have three going to Galway, please God. Nervous week now coming up, trying to keep them together. We have Michuka and Ben Dundee in the plate. And Little Horse, Watch Your Status. Hopefully he'll get into the Galway Blazers, or he'd have maybe he could go for the 3 mile hurdle maybe on the Saturday as well. So three very nice horses, like they're, you know, rated up in 140s and Watch Your Status at 123 horse. So like they're well entitled to go there, and they'll go there with live chances, hopefully. So it'd be just amazing to have a horse to win a race in Galway, you know. So please God, they'll run well.
And the first two horses you mentioned there, Michuka and Ben Dundee, they've had a nice little prep for this. They feature prominently recently, haven't they?
Yeah, well, Michuka hasn't. He won in March. He won a nice handicap in Leopardstown in March for us. And in fairness to the horse, since I've had him, I think he's ran about six times for us, and I don't think he's ever been out of the money. He won first time out for me. He's very talented. He's only a handy little horse. I just see the weights there now. He's 10-10 on his back in the plate, and Ben Dundee is 10-7. So I wouldn't be worried that Michuka hasn't had a run recently. He won. First time out for me, so that wouldn't bother me. And Ben Dundee, he had actually gone into training with Willie Mullins last year from Gordon Elliott's, and the plate was the target for him last year, and he unfortunately didn't make it. So Chris just asked me would I be interested in taking him, and he's had two or three lovely runs over hurdles for us, just getting his confidence back in that. So he's in great form now. Delighted with the two of them.
Outside of your own life chances, I think that you're kind of hinting at there, is there anything that stands out for you if the people listening to this interview were going to put a fiver somewhere?
Oh God. Listen, you'd love Norman Lee's horse to, you know, in the Galway Hurl, Sole Pretender, like, Jesus, wouldn't be a great story. His dad trained the winner before of a Galway Hurl, Isabella, I think was the name of the filly. That'd be unreal. Probably his rate is probably high enough going into it. There's a horse that Arthur Moore trains that for Chris Jones called Seed Decor, that'll go for the plate. He's had a little prep run, and that's where I put my favourite each way now.